Cliff May, president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Clifford, thank you for being with us again, my friend.
Always good to be with you, sir.
Well, you heard that little lead-in, and you are a man who is astute in a lot of different areas, foreign policy, terrorism, national security. What is your read on what's happening in that part of the world? I'm talking about Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the decision-making process that the president's going through right now.
Yeah, it's a big subject. Look, I was in Pakistan for over a week, and the time I was there, there were four major terrorist attacks. The most consequential is the one Barbara Starr has mentioned, because that was at what amounts to the Pentagon of Pakistan. And it wasn't just a suicide bomber running at the perimeter and getting blown up. This was 22 hours of a sustained attack with automatic weapons, grenades, rockets. They got well within inside the building. They killed senior officers and commandos. This was a major attack. Now, I would have to say the hope that comes out of this is that the military says in Pakistan, that's it, you've crossed a red line. We've indulged you, we've tolerated you, meaning the Taliban and its allies, no more. Now we're going to have to slap you down hard. And there are 30,000 Pakistani troops right now moving into Waziristan, and we'll see how they do. We'll see if they're serious. We'll see if they're up to the task. But Pakistan is our ally, but it's a very fragile ally, and we have a very troubled alliance with Pakistan. And let me just answer your question with one more quick phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem the Obama administration has, in my view. Afghanistan and Pakistan cannot be disconnected from the global conflict we are fighting with militant jihadis. And the Obama administration does not acknowledge there is a global conflict to fight. They say we are only fighting overseas contingency operations. The problem here is not just semantic, it is conceptual. If you don't know you're fighting a world war, how can you possibly win it, and how can you come up with strategy for any particular battlefield or front? One battlefield and front is Afghanistan, intimately connected to Pakistan.
And why is Pakistan so important to us?
Well, a number of reasons. One is that it has nuclear weapons. And Osama bin Laden has said it has nuclear weapons that eventually he will get his hands on. Another reason is that it is the third largest Muslim country in the world. Another is that it's an Islamic Republic. That's what it calls itself. But it is, theoretically at least, aligned with the United States against al-Qaeda, against the Taliban, and against militant Islamism. If we lose Pakistan, we lose a lot. We lose South Asia, and again, we have the concern of the nuclear weapons. And don't forget, a lot of terrorism around the world has been and is planned, organized, and trained in parts of Pakistan.
And not only do we have to look at Afghanistan and Pakistan together, isn't it accurate to say that they will stand or fall together? Can you imagine one falling to the Taliban without the other?
Hard to imagine that, because if we were to abandon Afghanistan, or if Afghanistan were to fall, I think at that point too many people in Pakistan would say, okay, I understand which way the wind's blowing, I better make my peace with the radicals. But part of the problem is that there are already those in the Pakistani military and the Pakistani intelligence community who have sympathies for the radicals, who have links with the radicals. And then also what can happen, does happen, is phone calls come in to people in Pakistan from the Taliban, and they say, we know who you are, we know where your kids go to school, let me tell you what we want from you, and you will give it to us.
Which makes it all very fragile, which makes it all the more surprising, really, in a way, that Pakistan now seems to be being very aggressive against the Taliban and al-Qaeda there, and really, really taking them on at a time when we're dithering over here, and they're watching to see, how much stamina United States of America has. I mean, it makes it all very fragile, doesn't it?
It makes it all very fragile. Exactly right. Our alliance is fragile. Pakistan is fragile. What the Taliban and al-Qaeda would like is to collapse Pakistan, to make it a failed state. They do very well vultures that they are feeding on carrion.
What do you think about the administration's discussion, debate, whatever they're having now, the part of it that where one group anyway says, you know, we need to separate the good Taliban from the bad Taliban and work with the good Taliban, and I guess it's a part of an overall Biden related strategy where you basically stand off and fight the battle with cruise missiles from a distance.
Well, there's two parts to that. One is when I was in Afghanistan talking to senior military people, they did say, look, there are groups that use the Taliban brand but have no ideological content. They may be what they reconcilables. We may be able to flip them over to us. If they see us winning, they want to be on the side that wins more than anything else. They have no real organic connection to Al-Qaeda. If that's what is meant by that, that's fine, though it doesn't necessarily imply that simply lobbing missiles at tent camps and camels is going to work. But there's something else that sometimes meant I heard in Pakistan. It was hard for me sometimes not to take away the impression that the good Taliban fights Americans who are occupying Afghanistan and the bad Taliban blows up Pakistanis and markets in Pakistan. And that's disturbing.
Let me switch subjects on you just a minute. Were you shocked and amazed that the Russians kind of embarrassed Hillary Clinton by making it clear to her, along with the rest of the world, which was already clear, that they're not going to lift a finger with regard to serious sanctions on Iran?
No, I would have been shocked and amazed if it had been anything else. That's what I feared, is that we sat down at the table and played poker with a guy named Doc, and we got taken.
What does that mean for that part of the world, and specifically the for Israel?
Israel is, to a great extent, on its own. The Russians are de facto allies of anybody who's America's enemy. That's because Russia is not, as some people have thought, an aspiring democracy. It is a committed autocracy under Vladimir Putin. They see American weakness and American decline as in their interest. The Israelis have some very hard decisions to make in the days ahead, and I don't see anybody helping them very much with that right now.
Cliff May, it's not good news, Cliff, but it's very insightful, and we appreciate your being with us again today.